this weekend was Colorado Springs Comic Con.
Oh, I know what your news is.
And so like a couple of people were there, right? You know, so you had Paul Schreier, Jason Harvey, you had Jason Font, and then you Jason David Frank.
Jason,
you know,
David Frank's goatee.
Goatee and haircut, and then you had Amy Jo Johnson, right?
Oh my gosh.
So now she's been doing a bunch of cons lately, right? But you normally don't see her doing things with the others. Okay, so just saying that the photo op, y'all, this one number one photo op with JDF and Amy Jo Johnson's happened. It happened. They were in the same place at the same time because it doesn't happen. And so that was number one. But that's just the precursor to what my main news was.
Oh.
What's her name? What is her name? Chelsea. I'm just saying your name is Chelsea Chow. So she was there at the panel because actually, Amy Jo was supposed to, you know, just have her regular home Q&A. And then I think somebody else canceled either their appearance or their panel or something. So then Amy Jo had a second one. So she had two Q&As. But from one of them, Chelsea was like, Amy Jo Johnson said she's willing and kind of wanting to direct an episode of Power Rangers.
Oh, hey. Do it.
So that needs to happen. That needs to happen. Although, right, like
she's there.
She needs to direct herself.
Pretty much.
Like, let's do this. Forever Pink up in his biatch.
All I'm saying is that Power Rangers needs Enrico Colantoni. That's what it needs. Get him in there. Get him in there when she directs the episode. I don't care what he does. Probably play a cop.
No. Get him in there with James Galen. Boom. Done.
Yes.
So, yeah, pretty much. I think that would be totally, I mean, and the thing is, like, don't bring her up to direct Besties Forever. Like, if you, no.
Seriously.
No. Like, she will literally turn around, get back on a plane. Go.
It needs to be a Pink Ranger focus episode, but where she's just kicking butt. And not caring about guys or her best friends or any of that nonsense. Just being strong, being awesome.
Exactly.
And yes. And there can be a quick scene where she meets her idol, Kimberly Hart, the famous gymnastic person. Boom, done.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Done.
Doesn't need to be the whole episode. It just is a quick thing at the end.
She shows up in her Ninjetti costume to tie it in.
hey!
Do it.
There it is.
That'd be cool.
But then she leaves, so there isn't too much pink energy.
Exactly. And we're done. Then that's it.
We're out.
We're out.
It's a wrap.
So that needs to happen. Just putting that out there. I mean, people actually listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying.
Actually,
people...
Oh my God. It actually works perfect if it's Ninja Steel, right? So right? Ninja, yes. Ninja, yes. Ninjetti? What?
Don't yes. Yes. Okay, you're like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know. It's it's
and then...
I was like, wait, this is actually kind of good. Like, it can actually do that.
It can actually, right. So
bring the ninja just... costume out of storage.
Ninja crane power, whatever it was. Letting you guys know that this portion of this episode will be the first thing.
Damn right.
That is her.
And then she walks up. She walks up to the Pink Ranger and the White Ranger and say, "You do not have to share a Zord. None of that nonsense. No. You're your own independent women."
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
Throw your hands up at me.
Yes.
That's right. Love it.
Boom.
Also, speaking of. Power Rangers, 23 years old as of the day we are recording this.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. So happy 23. You still can't rent a car by yourself.
Oh,
sorry.
It's 23 and I'm 32, and that makes me feel sad.
Oh,
old.
I think we should just jump right into it. Gone fishing. Duh. So,
fishing.
I'm sorry. I like to.
No apostrophe.
It's like morphin.
Speak. Proper English.
It's fish
sorry.
Time.
With like the Besties Forever. I'd say ever. That's gone fishing.
What is
Got it.
What happened with the titles of the show? I mean,
they let the children start naming them.
The youths.
Yes. They it was Bring Your Child to Work Day, and they said, name all the episodes of Dino Supercharge for us.
Oh, boy.
But Gone Fish, I mean, the thing is, like, the it's title not, itself is so, like, it's pretty literal.
True.
Yeah.
It's
very
it's
literal.
Kind of, it's
so...
kind of an odd idea for an episode that is technically supposed to be pretty important. It's like, yeah, we're fishing. We're doing fishing. Sure.
Well, yeah, that's the problem is that it's there's their plot of the day about Matt and Riley, Matt being Riley's brother, going fishing, and they have their little thing about, oh, man, people have fun in different ways. But then we also have two big plot points of the Titanozord and the Silver Ranger.
Yeah, that was the weird thing, because like you read the synopsis, and it's like, Matt and Riley go fishing, and you look at the preview, and it's like, oh, Silver Ranger, Titanozord, super important. Like, what? It felt like it was two different episodes.
And they didn't treat the Titanosaur and the Silver Ranger personally as like they were like the biggest deals. It was just like, okay, I loved, and maybe I missed something. I don't know. I love the part where it's like, we checked all over the Earth and there's no other Energem. It's like, wait, what? And And that makes Fury look super dumb because they figure that out in about, maybe 3 weeks. Took him, like, how many millions of years to not find any Energems?
Well, he doesn't have advanced Kendall Creeper technology. You don't know.
Fair enough.
Something, satellites and lasers and things? I don't know.
Whenever anyone says something like, we've searched all over Earth, like, I just, let's... It doesn't matter what technology, what anything you have. You search all over Earth and didn't find it in this one place that the Rangers just happened to be at coincidentally on that exact day.
And
when they find
the shooting star and they find the thing with the thing.
And not only that, but with the end of the episode where he's like, oh, I'm going to go off and find Heckle's ship. I'm like, you just checked the whole planet. Did you not find it while you were checking?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if you have the ability to search every inch of a planet for one small thing, like, you could have, like, saved the world, like, cured world hunger, found all these resources, like, done these amazing things for the planet. And you're just like, nope, can't find a gem. Sorry. Cool. That's it. That's all we care about.
Let's come on, you guys. Like, and many seasons have had their hyperboles. And many seasons have looked for that one particular thing that fits them for their one particular season that can hopefully save the world in their one particular way.
And only one of those seasons is airing in 2016.
Yes. And the fact that literally within like two lines, we go from, we've searched the entire Earth. Uh-oh, battle grid alert. Incoming dino gem. What? Like, wait, what? It's here? Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, yes, is it, yes, was it very convenient for some shooting thing to come into the planet and then it's like a message from rando horrible voiceover titanium guy? Sure.
Like Ryan Steele?
Sure. Of course.
I'm an alien. The Energem is not on Earth. They're like, no way!
Oh, you don't say. But okay. Back to Kendall, since we're on a theme over the weeks of ripping on Kendall. So she's been spending all this time searching for this. This is the only gem she needs left. She's got the other nine, trying to complete the collection, gotta catch them all. And yet, in all of this time, she hasn't made a friggin' what do you call them?
The energy.
Yeah, like a little charger.
She
hasn't made one. Like, she can do it easily, apparently. It just takes, you know, a couple minutes of not being on screen because footage. But she doesn't have one prepared already after all this
time? How does she make them again? Like,
magic.
What's the process?
She takes a blank one. She puts it in a little clear tube. She puts a couple of hoses next to it. She types on the keyboard. She looks up pensively at it. And then, boom, it's made.
Yes. We did see the process.
Yes. So lots of science and all of the other science related things, and then boom, it's there.
I wasn't particularly bothered with Kendall in this episode. I thought Kendall herself was fine. I do think it's funny that they're like doing all this stuff of like, oh, we search all over Earth and there's nothing. It kind of invalidates James and his quest to leave his son and go find all of this stuff, right? when everybody else is already searching. There's like massive, massive resources being deployed, and he's just kind of off doing whatever.
That's Power Rangers tradition. Go away, Zane. Okay, I'm back. Go away, Ryan. Oh, hey, I'm back.
I just don't get this.
Oh, speaking of James showing up, it's like he shows up and Tyler doesn't react at all.
Rando. It's just is like
happy to see you, Dad.
The most offensive, like, of this episode. Like, I mean, we can, you know, with the searching all over early. I can, those type of Power Ranger-y things, I can sort of forgive because whatever. We've seen it in every season, whatever. However, your dad just rolls back. You just like, yep. Hey, Dad, what's up?
And then I love at the end of the episode, he kind of remembers that he misses his dad. And right when his dad's about to go away, he's like, I need to search for Heckle's ship.
That's
because that was so random.
It's the weird thing about like this episode and a lot of episodes is like there's no time anymore, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You get to these episodes, which I guess this counts as a big episode, and it feels like there's 2 seconds for every like major thing, and you get like 50 like filler episodes. I don't even like using the term filler, but like that's basically what they are compared to something like this. And it's like this to me is 3 episodes, and it should have been 3 episodes, not like a three-parter, but 3 separate episodes about 3 separate things
that touched upon this arc,
right? Which all could have been important, you know, in some way or another.
Intermix your general Ranger learns a lesson of the week with part of this overall larger plot instead of just doing 3 generic episodes and then all of a sudden, here's everything, here's it all the fighting, all the Zords, stuff and things happening. Oh, it's all done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ingrid, I actually kind of liked seeing like the 3 extra Rangers, so to speak, team up with Gold and Red. I thought that was just cool seeing them work together, but like,
It was all the extras with Red. Pretty much, right?
Like extras, like, red and gold. Yeah, all the extras. Yeah, and I'm like, cool. It's cool. Well, you know, traditional.
Well, he's an additional Ranger.
Yeah, additional to the
all the additionals. And, like, I really like
that. That was a cool idea.
And you saw Kendall morph.
Like, yes.
I'm just
saying. Yeah. Okay. I love when they do the giant group morph. That like the photo that the Power Rangers Twitter posted. Like Riley's looking pretty intense, but then Tyler's dad is in the back looking. He's about to sass someone fierce. He's got this like head bob. Like. Mm.
And this is the episode where they used the footage that they decided to alter for the opening credits of let's turn Cyan into purple. Nobody will notice.
Yes. Like, Aqua is male again.
Yeah. It's so weird. Cause every time I see the credits now, I just am staring at that. Just like, stop it. Stop doing that weird thing you did with the purple. Just, I'm like,
I would like to touch upon some good things because normally I don't have anything good to say. Okay. Now, okay, let me start with the and then get to the good. So with the whole fishing thing, like the good thing was that they touched upon Riley's competitive spirit, right? And that I like.
And his brother still exists.
And his brother still exists.
I like his brother showing up. I like that.
Yes, little things
that fills out the character,
you know,
and shows that he has a life outside of Power Ranger stuff. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like the first little thing, like scene or whatever, where like Riley wants to measure each person's fish or whatever, and then the brother's just like, I just want to have some fun. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, bro, like, shut up. Like, let the man just measure your fish. It's not that serious. Okay. Like, I was on Riley's. I was Team Riley. I was like, look, I want to measure your fish. Why? No. You scared? You scared because I'm going to beat you? You scared?
It feels like in this scenario, fish is a euphemism.
Right. Right.
Fish measuring. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, like, I thought, like, all right, like, bro, you a little, right? And then they harped on it again with, like, okay, and then Riley got a little amped or whatever. So I was like, all right, I see where they're going. So they're trying to touch back on that. The not so good thing, right? It was like the little jokes about like, oh look, we're eating noodles, and they're not
so
noodles.
Dumb.
I don't. I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay.
Soda's adorable. No so I'm way. Fine.
Yes.
There's no way on the god green earth that Shelby.
Right. If it was just Coda,
pretty much.
I don't care.
Fine.
It was amazing.
Fine.
It was
that makes
amazing.
Perfect sense. It does not make sense
fine.
That smart people. Are eating worms.
Exactly.
Thinking,
exactly.
Like, no.
It makes no sense. Smart people born on this earth, like in this century, doesn't make sense because worms do not look like noodles, right, and vice versa.
Like Coda was born for that kind of stuff, and it totally works. I'm okay with that. But like, let's not play too broadly with just like everybody could just be that, just ridiculous. Like I don't know.
It could have been so easy.
I feel like this season.
Go ahead. This season.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
in general, I just feel like it takes liberties with the comedy that I feel like the show has rarely done before. I mean, it was always silly and ridiculous, right? But like,
they don't have a Balkan skull.
Don't even.
Right.
Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you don't have like a Balkan skull or a Balkan spike or a, you know.
Well, that's not comedy. What's the name?
Or, you know, then they just put it onto different characters. And then at times it's out of character for them.
Yeah, sometimes the comedy totally works and it's totally fine. And other like, yes. I mean, I like this comedy just fine, but I get what you're saying about it. Like, okay, yeah, but really these smart people shouldn't be doing this. I still thought it was funny, but it's right. It's the reason why it's something that I think Tony Oliver has talked about a lot with the early MMPR. He's like, in some of the early episodes, they tried to make the Rangers funny and that kind of ruined their characters. So they very quickly changed it to Bulk and Skull are all the jokes.
Yeah.
Yes, and the thing is, like, they did the Coda, they did the joke again, right? All you had to do with Coda is that he's eating the worms, right? And then he's thinking they're, like, noodles, because, you know, he's, like, trying to be all, like, hip and cool with, like, in 21st century. And they're like, yo, dude, those are worms. Takes a beat, and then he keeps eating them, because, dude, he's a caveman!
Or and obviously this could apply to literally anything in Dino Charge. If they had Ivan, he's like, ah, this expensive delicacy. Mm-hmm. And he's eating the worms, and they're like, oh my god, dude, what the F?
Yeah.
Right.
Just, I don't know. I was okay with it. No, it was fine. It was cute.
I mean,
just like Chase somehow managed to catch 900 pieces of garbage, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, also, okay, I've never gone fishing. Is it really that common to catch boots?
No. But no, maybe once in a blue moon you'll hook a piece of trash, but even the chances of picking the whole friggin' thing up, no, it's not. It doesn't happen.
I did like the joke about like, oh, I got my biggest catch ever. It's size 12 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't mind the trash thing. I didn't mind the trash thing. Like, you know, so like,
yeah.
I mean, overall.
Well, it's the same level of improbable. It is.
No, because eating worms is a personal thing of like, you see it, you look down and you know what you're eating. Like, you know, your agency is involved.
Bike tire. He had a license plate. Like, yes, it is equally implausible.
It's also Chase. It's also Chase, number one. And he hasn't fished, right? Like, or if he has, then he's still Chase the absent-minded, foolish character.
This is splitting the thinnest hairs.
No, it is not.
It is, yeah, I'm 100% serious. It's splitting the thinnest hairs.
Can we go to my favorite thing of this episode? Keeper just showing up and parting the Red Sea, killing the fish in the lake.
Yep, and they had Birdman footage to use, so whenever stuff happened, they just said, oh, Keeper did it. Hey, there he is. He's doing stuff now.
Yeah, and like I love he's like, this is all for the energy. And I'm like, yo, okay, if there's some mad setup that like all he cares about is the energy gem and then he's going to peace out on the Earth, F you Rangers, then sure, whatever. But it still doesn't excuse him randomly showing up for really no reason, not being around for long stretches of time, and then just being God every so often for the Rangers to get them out of a jam.
He is a bit of a deus ex machina thing, and it's annoying.
I feel like the sequence on its own is totally fine. Like, visually it was cool. Like, the stuff he did was cool. It's just that he doesn't do this basically ever, really. And so it goes back to a complaint that I've been making like week after week, is that Keeper is not really a character. I don't know anything about him. So when he does show up and do stuff like this now, so many episodes into it, it's actually kind of a weird, like, whoa, like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, he's literally, stuff like this has to happen, so he only exists for when that stuff has to happen. That's it. He's just a plot device.
It's just upsetting.
I mean, look, man. I, look, look, I, look. when I watched it, I'm not gonna lie, when I watched the episode, it didn't offend me. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't.
It wasn't ridiculous.
It didn't, you know, like, nothing. I mean, I'm not saying nothing, like, really stood out. I mean, of course, yes, like, Kendall being really excited for everything about the Titanosaur.
Yes.
Titanosaur. Yeah, being really excited anything with this Titanosaur or the Energem or like, it was hilarious. Okay, like any, like Riley actually having, you know, a thing with his brother and trying to save his brother and all those other things, and woo, technology saving the day. And even though, like, they were still on the phone, but they can still hear, the brother might still hear them talking about them being Rangers. Anyway, it's cool. It's fine. It didn't actively offend me. So I didn't mind it. Even, like, all the action-y stuff, I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, they're doing things. And I'm like, all
right. I have a question. Was I the only one that thought they were trying to get to the point that his brother knew he was a Ranger? Because I saw, like, you know, because he's sitting there and he's about ready to pass out. And Riley's like, oh, the Power Rangers are here. They're going to save you. And then the last thing he says is hurry, Riley. Which to me, I thought they were going to be like, oh, he knows. He figured it out. And then as soon as he demorphs and he finds him, like, his brother might say, like, you got to go, dude. Like, I know it's cool. But, like, nothing.
No.
Maybe it was just, maybe that was just me. But I thought that's what they were, like, leaning towards.
No, they were trying to hide it, just full on. And, you know, it's the same old Power Ranger, like, hey, I'm going to say your name out loud, but yeah, oops, you're right in there. So,
yeah, that was,
I mean, Tyler was hilarious. He's like, oh, he has saved you, and now we must go.
Mm-hmm. Hello, citizen.
So I actually chuckled on that one. I really did. I
was going to say that it's like, and then, like, they very quickly decide there's going to be a lesson at the end of the episode. Again, that whole, like, people have fun in different ways. I'm like, that was brought up in one scene. Mm-hmm. Like, stop acting like that was, like, a big, because, like, the problem is, if that's supposed to be the lesson, then the other plots do not lend itself to that be, like, the theme of the whole episode. It's just a tacked on lesson for no real reason.
Yes, yes. And this is something, oh God, like, it's so weird. Like, I have a number of things about this season that are, like, starting to materialize, that's, like, creeping up on me. And it's like, I've seen this so many times. It's that it feels like every single episode of Dino Charge has some kind of moral or lesson. And of course, Power Rangers has always done that, and I actually support them doing this in a lot of ways. But, like, it's
not so heavy-handed?
Not so specifically and so often that literally every, like, an episode cannot pass without a very specific, like, moral of the story being hammered home at the end. This episode, I just don't know if it even cohered into, like, a natural moral of the story, you know? Like,
and there's something to be said where even all the multiple plots may not all be learning the same lesson, but they're on a similar theme. Like when they did our favorite episode, Nightmare on Amber Beach with Shelby, and the stuff with her dad, is that the monster was very thematically tied into what her story was. It was about chasing her dreams and how she wasn't really going for her dream, and then there's all these nightmares. Like, that's dope. That's great, because all the plots end up working towards the end goal of the episode. Whereas here, it's like, oh, there's a theme about having people have fun in different ways, but the Titanosaur plot has nothing to do with that, and the Silver Ranger thing is just there to set stuff up for later.
Yeah. It's odd, because, like, for me, my favorite part of the episode actually is this Riley and Matt aspect. Like, and I don't want to come off, because I've been saying a lot of complaints. I actually, you know, kind of like this episode, you know.
Me too!
Even though there are definitely some things that, you know, I might go in and change, but, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, yeah. it's just that wrap-up at the end is just kind of like, oh.
It was clunky.
Yeah.
Well, it was really just a case of, okay, this, based on the footage, this is the episode where the Titanosaur shows up. This is the monster we have. Oh, he likes to fish, so we need to tack on a lesson. Riley time. Fishing somehow. Brother, let's throw him in there quickly. Boom. That was it.
Hey, remember when in the casting sides, Riley's brother was supposed to be a Ranger? Remember when that was going to be a thing?
Yes.
Very early on.
Yes.
You know what? We haven't talked about the villains, y'all.
Well, because the villains just sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they have a story. Sometimes they care about their internal conflicts. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this time, okay, this time, what's his name? Singe
showed up again,
right? Was and I can't with these inconsistent voices. Like, I just can't. Yeah. Like that. I mean, that is, it is horrendous how these voices are all over the place. But I'm gonna put that to the side. So Singe is all like, "Hey, look, I know where the Zord is. Look at me, I'm smart." Fury's like, "How'd you know?" I'm just like, "Cause I know people." What and what? And so that's why they went out and tried to go with the monster to go fishing for this thing and destroy it and all the things or whatever. And then they come back, and of course, you know, Moses, you know, he did his thing and then came back and then un-Moses all them. And then Harlem came back, and what's his name? Peckle was asking Singe, yeah, so like, how do you know? How did you know where the thing was? What's going on? He's like, hey.
Don't ask questions. Hey,
hey.
And then they fight for a minute, which was awesome. That was great.
Right? That was great.
And then Singe was just like, you know what? I'm good.
Yes.
I'm
but done. Then Singe just like walks away. Yeah, he jumps in the Epcot Center ball, but like he's just like, just walks away, and then Fury just walks, and he's like, oh, if you see him again, kill him. Like, boy, that was not very, like, maybe a little bit more urgency next time. Like, act I mean, like it's important.
My biggest problem with Singe's plot was that he showed up because footage, and he didn't really impact the other villains all that much. He was just kind of there. It's like,
well, and I guess he got his gun because of footage.
Oh, that's right, God.
Because he's not there in the Kyoryuger footage, so they just had a really quick scene earlier where he's like, give me your gun. So it would explain why Fury had his gun.
That's right.
Just quick, real quick. That's the thing. It's weird because this show likes to explain away the footage. Like, they will take the time to do it instead of just putting it up there. But their explanations are so blah and just quick. So it's like, I mean, it's better than nothing, but it's still just, eh.
It sort of leads to more sort of questions.
Yeah. And
like things like, wait, how does that work exactly? Like,
and it's just annoying because it's like, okay, we know you're smart enough to realize there's something there. Like, you're not completely just dead to the world in that sort of respect, but then you still give me no explanation. It's like barely one step above friggin' Gosei and his green-black crap. Like, it's just, okay, I guess. I mean, I appreciate you trying a little, but
this is the thing, like the villain side of things in this episode. I mean, I really like that scene with Heckle at the end, but for me it was like 30 seconds. Like, it was just like a slice of something. And this is why I say it's three episodes. Like, it should be three. We should eliminate the stuff with Eren, you know, eliminate whatever episodes came before that I can barely remember now, and just make three episodes that have elements of what Gone Fishing is. Yeah. And have one of them be at least one where we focus a little bit more or a lot more on the villains, so there's more impact when this stuff happens. And maybe we can work on like that ending where Singe runs away, where he just looks like he just stares at him leaving instead of actually tries to kill him.
He likes to walk.
Yeah, well, I think another big problem is that like Kyoryuger has so many characters. Like, there are just tons and tons of characters, and then even Dino Charge adds more characters with like Heckle and the Keeper, yeah, and Snide and all that stuff and everything. Like, it adds more characters, but then it feels the need to use every single Kyoryuger character, which, you know, is admirable on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, you're just spreading yourself too thin, because there's so many people that I see glimpses of, like, they could be interesting, like, long-term, if you just had more, you know, more time that you were just using it better. I don't know what it is, because I don't want to...
Yeah, it's not, you don't need more time, you just need time management better than what this is. We don't need Eren. There is no version of this season that needs Shelby's 70-year-old friend. Like, no. We don't need her. We don't.
No.
Like, we don't need her. Like, eliminate that episode.
In a season with a kid, like, where I want more Poissandra and Kirio hanging out. I want that show.
I do. I want more. Honestly, I want more of almost everybody. Like, there's not many characters that I can sit there and say, I hate this character. Like, I don't like Keeper. Like, I'll say I don't like Keeper at all. But other than that, I'm like, I like most of these characters. And I think if you utilized your time better, you know, instead of just giving us these really bad lessons, like, I think this could be one of the best seasons ever if they just, you know, rearrange things a bit.
What if Bessie's Forever wasn't about Shelby and her 89-year-old friend? What if it was
she's getting older. I love it.
I don't care about her 118-year-old friend.
Right.
What I really is, can you imagine if instead of having to save Aaron, they all had to save Keeper because he got kidnapped? See, that, I feel like that would be, because again, nothing in the footage says it has to be a best friend, that it has to be best friend.
Well, here's the thing. It can't be Keeper because he's Moses.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, take away his staff and say that. See, it's a perfect opportunity to explain to us who the hell Keeper is. Say that the reason he's alive or the reason he's around is because of this staff thing. And the staff comes from planet blah, 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 where I met Singe and I met this person and that person. We did this and this and that. Like then suddenly I actually give a crap about Keeper for 5 seconds.
Yeah. I got this staff on Eltar, where I met my good friend Zordon that I'll never talk about again.
We don't quite need to go into all of that, but, you know.
Continuity! Yeah,
I got this from KO35. Uh-huh. Before it was KO35, it was just 35. And then, you know, since I blow up everything, KO!
No, he blew up KO 1 through 34. So that's why they're at 35.
Yes, it's the 35th.
The last one in the line. Yes.
I got this one from KO 17.
Yes, then blew it up.
So yeah, I look, again, agree with everything that has been said, like legit. However, still didn't it didn't offend me.
It's a weird situation. I didn't hate this episode at all. I came out feeling like I enjoyed it, but it also just kind of brought up a lot of stuff from so many of the previous episodes where I was just like.
And because we are getting down the stretch and your expectation is to want more things revealed or answered or explained.
All
the reveal load.
And yet they keep throwing us more questions.
Well,
more questions.
And again, not saying anything specific, but from what I've heard, there's more characters to come. Like, come on.
If you just look at the Carrier footage, you know characters are going to show up.
Yeah, stuff.
Well, we have another Ranger. We have a whole other Ranger to debut with, and now you got to think we got 10 episodes left, and maybe 2 clip shows, depending on if
it's. And by another Ranger, it depends on what exactly you mean by that. There could be 2 others.
Yeah,
that's true. Because if they do something like Carrier, where people get switched, because that's happened in Carrier, a bunch of the characters ended up giving up their powers to other people. I don't know.
That's even more. I wasn't even talking about that. Yeah. That's even extra beyond what.
Not counting suit changes, there are 11 Rangers minimum.
Yeah.
So Charge
wants to.
You forgot Double Zero.
I forgot about a musical Ranger talent.
Because they used the movie footage the last few years. Like, they will use movie footage, so everything is fair game.
And there's villains.
And Action Figures says they're coming.
Yes, so
it's like Dinah Charge wants to set the record for most characters in a season.
Yeah, good and bad, everything in between.
You know what? And I think this is a positive to Dinah Charge. It says something that they are kind of juggling everything as best they can. I mean, they're not doing it completely well, I would say. But the fact that, like, it's not Time Force where, like, 3 of the characters are just completely forgotten about for the entire show, like. That, you know, I'll give them points for that, you know? Because every so often they do it, like, especially the main Rangers. Like, you know, nobody's getting dropped in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, however, everybody's kind of had their shine a little bit.
Yeah.
And everybody has kind of hit the same notes.
Yeah, no, completely.
I kind of feel like they've overshined, honestly. I like all of the characters. I love them, like, whatever they do. Like, it's very entertaining. But, like, almost all of the characters at this point have had maybe one episode where I felt like we could have lost that one and maybe given it to Kendall or someone, and the show overall would have been better for me.
Well, that's the thing is, like, okay, every single time that you bring in a guest character, I don't care who it is, just some rando that is there for one episode, stop it, get rid of them, and insert Tyler's dad or Prince Philip or anybody. that you haven't utilized in the slightest.
Or at the very least, if you have a guest character, don't make it about the guest character. Stop it.
Exactly.
Use it to make us learn about the character that
unless it's their mama, their papa, their sister, their brother. It has to be some not no like rando bestie who lies. Like nobody cares.
Yeah, like if you're gonna do an episode that's about a pair that are best friend or whatever, that are friends, like I don't care. Take two rangers that don't normally interact with each other very much and force them to interact with each other. Like, take Tyler's dad and Chase and make them best friends for some reason. I don't care. Do something so that you can take these characters besties, you already have and make them important.
Besties Forever should have been about Shelby and Kendall doing their thing and then them having a little bit more resolution to their whole plot about how she was all mad at her before.
You mean the thing that I was begging for in episode one of season one?
Yeah,
that thing
that you keep bringing up.
You want will never happen. Two main female characters to interact more when it doesn't include shopping or cooking?
You mean you want the dino dolls? Is that what you want?
The dino dolls. Dude, I would pay good money to have like a Poissandra Shelby Kendall episode. Like, put that in my life.
Oh, like G3 Princess?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
G Dino Princess. Boom, done.
Do it.
And not be condescending because it'd just be like, oh, look, we're all girls.
Shopping.
I don't want condescending. I don't want nobody getting a makeover. I don't want anybody. I just don't.
I'm sure that when Matt and Riley hung out, Matt's like, oh, dude, Riley, like, I heard that you hung out with your old boyfriend. How'd that go for you, man?
No.
No. That was, that's the episode we should have gotten where Matt, just want to let you know, I'm gay. Yeah, no crap.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, cool story, bro. Like, I don't...
I'm so competitive, you know, because I'm trying to overcompensate, because...
Yeah. It's like this is about your old boyfriend, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
let's be real, Riley. This is the first and last time you ever want to be near fish. We know.
Yes.
You're a horrible person.
No. He's afraid of fish.
He is.
He went to the park.
Really? He's definitely afraid.
Got his finger bit, and that's why he doesn't like
fish. Oh my gosh.
What do we do?
Holy Jesus. They wrote that for Billy. Holy Jesus. That he's afraid of fish.
No.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Oh.
Dude. Mind blown.
Right.
How is no one else figured this out yet? Oh my God. Good. Lisa.
Here comes the goo fish. That's not the goo he wants.
Afraid of fish. Always gave him the girlfriends.
The goo fish?
The girlfriends thing, yeah. I was 100% down with that. Like, that was obvious. But yeah, the fish, yeah, that's a new layer.
Oh, and then later on gets with a fish who's a girl.
Yes, it's perfect.
Well, we know who to blame, but yeah. David.
Also, Jason gets a girlfriend. It's like, oh, you know, he ain't gay. He likes Emily. There you go. He just wears the ring in the ear because it's cool and it's fine.
That was a thing in the 90s, right?
Okay, so are you ready? We're ready to rate this episode. I think we're ready to rate.
This one's tough.
Like, it's weird because last week I gave that a 2, but I had way more grievances with it than this one.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. I want to go 2, but I know I know what I gave a 2 last week, and I'm like,
so you know, interesting. If this is a 2, you know Lisa because Lisa went 1 last week. So
I mean, it's just a little easy for me to rate this. I'm just saying. I'm just gonna put that out there.
No, for me, like the human scenes of this were so much more charming than
truth.
Almost anything in the last one.
That's the sad thing, is like eating worms and fishing 900 boots is still more believable than anything that came out of that 254-year-old lady's mouth.
Exactly. So I mean, the worm thing, I still
be older than the United States. Keep going.
Yeah, so like the characters and just the fact that we got to see so many of them interacting and being a team, you know, like a large extended family. I don't know, like I feel like this is a 3.
Oh, like, you're a liar.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
I know when I rated this for Den of Geek, because we can do this on Den of Geek, I give it a 2.5, but...
Oh, you're one of those.
I know, but... Can we do week 3s?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, you can do that. To the lower end 3s.
You're only tipping it to the 3 in comparison to last week. That's the only
Exactly.
Yeah, because like last week was like a low 2, like 2.01.
You guys are hard.
This is like a 2.99.
Y'all are punk, yo. I just straight up said 1. It's kind of lame.
Well, again, it's one of those things where it was gone so long, the scale gets messed up in your head, and I don't know. But yes, this is still a 2, a much better 2 than last week's 2. But still a 2. And like Seamus said before, aggressively there. That's all it was. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say this was awful, this was bad or anything. It was just, you know, things happened. Plot moved forward in a very sloppy fashion. But, you know, it did. And the character moments were fine. I enjoyed the worm joke. But other than
also,
that,
yeah. Alien Power Ranger. Alien Power Ranger coming. I'm always down for some Alien Rangers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How great would it be if they made him an Equation just for the heck of it?
Because if they're going to do it like Kyuriger, he's going to be, you know, Birdman. Wing guy. Yeah. Birdman. What if he was another race from, like, what was it, Commander Birdie and SPD?
Mm-hmm.
Not all birds look alike, so.
Just use the Birdie costume, paint it blue or whatever to go with the Kyuriger nod.
Boom.
Because he needs the blue gun.
That's true. There it is. Yeah, I'm just going to say this right now until proven otherwise. He is of Commander Birdie's people. Prove me wrong.
There it is. He has his Amerigun, and he's going to bust that out.
So what do you give it, Seamus?
Oh, the episode?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I said week three. Week 3.
Oh, you said week 3. Jeremiah, you said
2. Strong 2.
She said strong number 2.
Strong 2.
Tristan said 3. And I am going to say 3.
What?
I am.
Because I watched it once, and I agree with everything you said. I just found it like, oh, look, characters are back we haven't seen. Even though the way that they came back, it was kind of whack. However, to watch Red and extras, you know, fight together, kind of cool. Yeah. Especially when Kendall morphs.
Yes.
Kendall morphs. Mm-hmm. Yes. The point.
And she pulled the Black Widow move on.
Hey. They even let her ride a motorcycle.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey.
So, and Kendall was given the most in that cockpit. It was hilarious. She was like, wow.
I was going to say, the whole, wow, check out this cockpit. You mean like every other cockpit? There's right. No difference whatsoever except for the picture on the back wall.
Bigger. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I know. Like, I know. I laughed because I was just like, oh, look, you're sarcastic. It just didn't offend me. Like, I mean, I actually actively watched the action parts and the things. And so, yes, could have been a lot better.
That's some gentle praise.
Normally they're boring. So it didn't bore me this time. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. But it didn't offend me, and it could have been better, but it could have been worse. So it gets a 3. There you go.
You hear that braggy gas music? That's what it needed. That's some sweet.
No,
music.
It's
that's true. The geek that braggy gas music was dope. That was great.
And here it's just
the show Final continually
charge. Do things.
The show continually needs better music.
Of course. Yeah.
Dino Charge needs... announcer man voice is a little tedious.
It needs music.
it doesn't need this generic crap. I mean, it's a little better than Samurai Megaforce's music, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's just very automatic. Like, I'm not really sure how to describe it. It's just very just.
No. You know what you said right now? You said automatic. It's like someone put this episode through a machine and said, "Give us music," and the machine printed out music.
Like, I'm sorry, when a Megazord is showing up for the first time, I need some They've Got a Power and a Force. That's what I need. I just don't need generic, like, laser noises of things combining. Doom, 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 combining, boom. Pew,
pew. I don't remember quite the old, need remember? The power and the force, but I need something.
Remember the old Zords theme? Like when it would start with that bass line? Yeah. Oh.
Like, oh my god, things are actually escalating. Like your music is signifying that fact.
Yeah.
Like you gotta have your leitmotif with the whole Dino Charge. Like you can have that, that's fine, but you know, up it up, you know.
Like this is a giant final mecha that utilizes yeah. all 23 of your chargers, and you're just like boom, whoa, charge Megazord. Oh, look at the cockpit. Cool. All right, let's go. Like, cool, awesome. This yeah. feels super important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it was, because you know the Zord was cool. I mean,
it is a cool Zord. I'm a big fan of it.
And that's the thing. I was just like, oh look, this is actually like a cool Zord. Oh my gosh, yes. I haven't really felt anything about a Zord since Kendall's own, because I like.
Like you're supposed to be feeling like this is the new Titanus, like in name, design, yeah. color. Like, and it's supposed to feel like Titanus.
And the fact that all of those Rangers are in the Zord together.
Except for Riley.
Well, yeah.
Well, right. Nah. You know. Okay. There's so many of them. And, like, the extras and, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
Well,
it's Green a Rangers big deal.
And dinosaur seasons are overrated, so let's go.
Hey.
So, anyways.
Anyhow. But yeah. So, look, surprise, guys. I graded more than a 2.
Wow, a 1 to a 3. That's a huge gap in 1 week.
Yeah, because last week was really that. Really
it
bad.
Was. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's the thing.
It was pretty bad.
Like, if you had to regrade it, you would give it a 1.
There's a decent chance. Yeah. There's a solid chance of that happening.
I still can't get over Heckle Cinnamon. He just loves cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
I'm a legend of cinnamon. And I think that's one of the most annoying things too. Is like, I know people weren't super huge on him when he first showed up, but like, I really like Heckle. I like his actor. I like the character. And the fact that he shows up so infrequently for such nonsense parts, like even his fight was kind of cool, but it still was a few seconds. It's like, what? Heckle, like, you utilize this dude. He's in the main credits. Do something.
Seriously, give him some significant time to do some stuff.
Like, he shouldn't still be hanging out the dino bike, because if he had been doing that for 10 episodes, we would have been like, wow.
No,
that would have been.
You can escalate it to something other than he's Sledge. He is now Sledge. There's no discernible difference at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is unfortunate, you know? Like, I mean, a lot of people actually liked Heckle when he first came out. Like, they were.
I love you,
Sledge. On the Heckle team, you know, and then
they painted him as important. Like everybody was scared of him. Everybody was scared of him, and now he's
the tentacle guy. Like yeah.
And
everybody
thinking about it, like because right, and like he has this thing with what's his face, Snide, right? I almost said Sledge. Where it's like, okay, so he's half the time he's this guy and half the time he's this guy. So will we find out more about that, or is it just that's just it? And if we are going to find out more, well, that's the, like, but like if we're going to find out about it, I feel like we should have already found out about it, frankly. And then moved on to the next, like, you know what I mean? Like, it should already be a thing. This is what I mean. Like, we waste time with the 413-year-old friend. And there's so many other things that we could be doing that are relevant and interesting and, like, good. Like,
And it's also more annoying because, like, you can make the direct comparison of, like, remember when Anton Mercer was constantly struggling with Mezagog and it was an important plot point and made you care about the characters and that was a big thing? And here, you know, next dinosaur season, same sort of deal. And it's just, after the first couple episodes, who cares? They're not fighting with each other. There's no huge struggle. They just both exist. Sometimes one's on screen, sometimes the other. There's no thing to it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, you have so, like, we've said it before, but this is another one of those seasons that more than any other in recent memory that's like, it's just teeming with potential. And every once in a while, a little bit of it gets out and you can have this great episode and you're all psyched and pumped. And then all of a sudden, it's back to no development or the same development, or we have to get through 900 characters so we can't give anybody enough time. And it's just like, gah. I
you know
see
what it
it
is, honestly?
Right on the surface.
Judd, because it's a Judd Lynn season, you know it's going to have a dope finale because all of Judd's finales are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And so you know that probably the last, I'm going to arbitrarily say, I don't know, five episodes when they start building to the finale are going to be amazing. But it's also like, oh, it could be so much better if you build up to it in these episodes too. You don't need to have like a whole craziness. Just, you know,
well,
little here, little there.
And we haven't had our trip to New Zealand yet, so there's that.
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, what are they doing this? Are we going to get another trip to New Zealand this season? Or Chase has been chilling on the New Zealand stuff. He's been chilling on it this season.
Again, don't quote me on this, but from what I vaguely gleaned from the episodes that have already aired, I think there's one that is like super duper New Zealandy, but that's about it. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. Because he still has one where he's. He's trying to bake a cake or something like New Zealand like food related.
I feel like we're not done with the NZ boys yet either. I think that's
right.
Actually,
yes.
Don't want to hear this. Yeah. I'm not.
The return of the NZ boys. Get hyped. Done yet.
The NZ done? Boys strike back.
Yes.
You guys done?
I think
what are they going to do? What are they going to do next year? What are they going to do? Ninja Steel. What are they going to do for New Zealand? Are you going to have another New Zealand? I know you talked about this, but seriously, another New Zealand Ranger? Is it going to happen?
Probably.
The mentors should be New Zealand. If it's like
you should be James Galen. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, I don't know if that quite counts.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because he can talk about New Zealand. He could be like, in my homeland of New Zealand.
The mythical land of New Zealand.
Right. It's like Zendo.
That's where the Florida Everglades are.
No, and it's like, yes, New Zealand, the home of the ninja. What?
No, Zia, just rename the season Ninja Steel and call it good. Boom.
Ninja Steel, yes.
That's your reference for the entire season. Yes.
New Zealand Steel. There you go. Done.
All right. We'd love to continue this New Zealand talk, but we also have to talk about this annual... Is it out already?
Yeah, it's out. It's out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the MMPR
annual 2016 annual.
Yeah.
Comic.
Yeah.
So should we go through it on story by story?
Here's the thing for me is because putting out annuals is a very typical thing for comic books, you know, for all their different, you know, like Marvel does it for every single character. And a lot of the times they're really lame. Or they'll like take three random characters, put them together and say, you have to buy all three annuals to get the whole story. And they just come off as very not necessary, complete fluff.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
They're extras.
Yeah. In principle, it's so now we have 13 issues this year just because we need to crank one more in there, make it extra thick. So it costs you a couple extra bucks and there it is. So, you know, you're kind of afraid something like that might happen, but I can genuinely say that this annual feels almost necessary. Like everything that happened was either just pure fun or it actually added to some character or it was just genuinely interesting little story. And to me, it, you know, it's a hefty price tag at $8, but I feel like it was worth it.
All right. Everybody's read the annual, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Six stories. Six.
I want to start out this way. Okay. You know, we're trying to make this a tight show, y'all.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of like...
Well, some of them are really quick.
Okay. But I want to start out. What was your favorite?
Oh, Red Ranger.
Red Ranger.
A Day in the Life. Yes.
Okay. Well, Tristan, you start with... Might as well. So, Tristan, why was that your favorite?
I mean, I just thought it was... It's interesting because it takes something that was kind of a joke on the show. Not literally for the show itself, but for the fans more. About the Rangers being so freaking perfect and on the ball with absolutely every 50 billion things that they can do in a day, in a week, in a whatever. And they made it something, I don't know if I would say they made it believable, but they gave you an emotional reason to accept it and to kind of appreciate the character.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's so like Jason, it's the story is about Jason going through like a somewhat typical week as a Red Ranger and a karate expert and a guy in school and doing this and doing that and balancing all these things. And at the end of it, it's sort of heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
that he's able to do all these. I also thought the artwork was fantastic.
Yeah, it looked it was pretty photorealistic. Like that was Austin St. John straight up. Like, it looked like him.
And it was great to see. And I loved the very small touch of he misses one of his classes and then he apologized for it. I'm like, it's the and that's the thing is that it's such a simple story. There's not a whole lot of dialogue, but it just impacts you with feelings.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it still gives you this impression, like, yes, he's superhuman. He's doing all these things that a normal person couldn't dream of, but you can still see the human layers cracking through here and there where he's not 100% perfect. And it takes an insane level of dedication and drive to do what he does on just a weekly basis.
Yes.
So, very fun story.
And even Zach was just like, nah, son, it's too early.
Yeah, I'm jogging at 4 in the morning. Get out of here with that noise.
I'm out. F that. We were on another place. We were on an asteroid, dude. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like, and it was a good time to do that story, too, because we've said before, Jason is probably getting, I wouldn't say neglected, but some of the least amount of focus in the regular series. So to have this as a nice start to the annual.
And that one was written by the main comic writer, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And we did. Some of us complained that he was getting not much to do or it was like generic. Mm-hmm. So this is like, oh, well, here you go.
Boom. Asking you, you shall receive. Boom. Right there.
All right, Seamus, you also said this was your favorite, but you can't pick this one anymore. So what was your next favorite?
Definitely the Goldar one. If only because it was, you know how we always talk about, oh, continuity and blah, blah, blah. Like, this one had maybe a hair too much where they started just listing a bunch of things.
Listing a bunch of races, yeah.
But I appreciate it because it seemed like they actually took the effort to, like, get it right. Dark Spectre mention was great, and it was just nice to show that Goldar's from a whole race of people that kind of, you know, look like, which I thought was nice and a nice touch, and showing Zed like that, it made me, I was talking to our friend, a friend of the show, Tom, about this, and it's like, it makes you want like a 10,000 years ago prequel comic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much like just great ground to cover there, and this is just like a small sliver of it, and it makes Goldar actually have a backstory besides evil.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. No, me too. Like, this was actually my favorite out of the bunch. Mm. Because
yeah, this was a very close second. A very close second. Yeah,
The whole thing, I mean, yes, everybody, yes, the trope of like, oh, look, a brother and blah, I get it, right? Whatever. But you know why? It works. It works. Mm-hmm. It tugs at the heartstrings. It works. And then, okay, like, why the brother gotta be named Silverback though?
Oh no, you belong to me.
And I'm saying, cause you know there's only one Silverback, all right, as you belong to me.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. Yes.
I forgot how great that was.
SPD. Yes. Anybody who's listening who has not seen SPD, that's one bit of magic that you need to expose yourself to.
You belong to me.
Yes.
You just need to just Google Silverback and no pink spandex. Yes. And the episode.
Enjoy the magic.
And enjoy. Okay. So that was a little eh, but, and then of course the other thing where they just named like different names. I'm like, okay, you guys,
a little too much, but
like it was still my favorite because I mean, dude, first of all, Lord Zed, yo, he was just like, oh, okay. So you want to defy me? You want to be a traitor to me? I'm telling you what to do. And it's all a prequel to like them, you know, going to Earth and tracking down Zordon or whatever. And so it's like, you don't want to listen to me? Oh, Silverback, you don't want to listen to me? Okay, plot out. You on the ground. So, Goldar. So what you want to do? What do you want to serve me? Or what is he? What is he now? Say it. What is he? What is he?
Say my name.
Say it.
Traitor. And what do traitors? What do we do with traitors? And hands in the sword, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Hands in the sword, dude. So yeah, and then this whole like inner like monologue with Goldar and my favorite, heart.
Would you read a 10,000 years ago prequel comic about like all this kind of stuff?
I mean, yeah, if it was written well, yeah, worse.
As long as everything lines up and the explanations are believable. And yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I would love to see just like a little taste every once in a while, you know? Just give me a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Fantastic. Man. Yeah, Yeah, man. But no, this was really my favorite, and this was by the Moores. So
That's the interesting thing, because everybody knows Terry Moore from Strangers in Paradise and Echo, and he did the artwork. But his son Trey, this is his actual first published written piece by himself, ever. And like that's a pretty good start, you know.
Pretty good start,
pretty
man.
Pretty good start.
So congrats to the Moores.
They mentioned the fact that Zed looks like he does because of some big battle. Like,
yeah, man. Like, yo, what happened to your skin, yo? Yeah. I'm like, yes! Thank you for mentioning. I don't even need like a whole explanation. No. I really don't. No. Just that just, alone. Done.
Just
done.
The hint of it is like,
yeah, okay. just give me a little taste, you know? And then maybe when like the main storyline is done in the main book, maybe give me like one more flashback issue here or there or whatever, you know?
And we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. These two stories for me kind of make the comic. Like, I mean, there's definitely one more that I enjoyed, and there's some other stuff, but like these two are like,
well, and these are the two. These are the two they advertised. They knew these are the tentpole stories. Like these are the ones people are going to care about the most.
Yeah, they're tops.
Now the real MVP.
Oh God.
Is obviously
Tommy and Kimberly.
That one was so good.
Yes, Putty comic is life.
Okay, you know, I was going to like trash you, like, because I was just like, bruh. But then the one panel that I'm trying to find it. Oh crap, where are you?
Was it the one you posted about Don't Be Too Derpy?
Oh, here we go. Let me see. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? Putty time. Where are you? No, come on. Don't be dumb. Is it before or after Goldar? Shoot, I'm trying to find
one
it.
Where the putty are you talking about the putty putting his arms out or what?
I can't get over that one, that like Tommy and Kimberly are so dumb they don't notice a putty with a bird's nest on it.
Yes. Well, look at that. It wasn't an out-of-stater with a crush on you. It was a putty with a bird's nest on his head.
And I love the art style.
Yeah,
of that.
It's so dumb.
And the fact that Tommy's just like, maybe they do have feelings. Like, oh my God.
And I love it's like, oh, maybe they know more than fighting. And it's really just the putties just love fighting. That's what they love so much.
Yeah.
It is
I
so
mean, and Kimberly, but they love fighting Kimberly.
It's just so charming. Like, I just love it's a cute little art style. It's just a fun little story. Like, it's just adorable. This is what we need a little bit of here and there. I love it. So good.
I mean, of course, I wouldn't want this in, like, the main story or the whatever, but no.
And then the art style, I'm just like, yeah, it's not my thing, but
for this, I was down for it. I love it. I love for this
so story. Cute. Yes,
but I can't. Okay, it's like, here we go. They're talking about, hold up, the feelings or whatever, and Tommy's just like, that's the silliest thing I ever heard, and she's like, sorry. He's like, nah, don't be sorry, you're actually nice, that's something to be whatever, you know. And he's just like, thanks. And he's like, but just don't be too derpy. And then he's like, you're too cute to derp in battle.
Yes. I love it so much.
See, honestly, I would love, instead of like, as much as I'm really enjoying the backup Bulk and Skull thing in every issue, I would be so down for two pages of derp and Tommy and Kimberly.
Of this.
Right? And Kimberly calling him a noob. Like, what? Come on, man. It's so good.
And I'm sorry, her karate belt is pink. I didn't know that there was a pink belt, like, in the regs of karate. I didn't know.
That's new. Hey, you leave Kimberly and her one boob alone.
Like, how did they mix, I'm sorry, I know I'm going back to it, how did they mix up a nest with hair? Like, how?
It's not for you to question.
I love it so much. Like, get me a print of, like, Tommy and Kimberly in that art style with the putty, and I'll put that on my wall in a minute.
Yes. Oh, so good. Oh,
gosh. So good. All right. So, I have to say, right, like, my least favorite out of the bunch, right, is that the anime-looking one.
Oh, with the
Not
girls?
Not because it was the anime-looking one, because I like the art style. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
However,
story,
like,
man.
I think for me it's one of those stories that, like, it's the type of story that needs more pages, and it could be a lot more interesting, because I've always liked the whole concept of monsters aren't inherently evil, there might be a good one here and there, that's fine, that's cool, but it's not the type of story you can tell in five or six pages. It just isn't.
Weirdly, to me, this feels like a truncated episode of the actual show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see it being an episode. So, for I don't know. I actually kind of liked it. It's definitely not a favorite. I mean, I already mentioned my favorites. But, like, I liked it and I liked the art style. The ending maybe was a little different from, you know, what you'd expect. I think
this was my least favorite, but I also didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. It was okay. But in this collection where there are so many really strong stories, this one was kind of like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely, like, the art style itself is very nice, and I love it, and it's pretty. Oh my gosh, it's so pink and yellow.
Well, and that's something I said before. It's like, I love the fact that we have six stories, but there's six very different art styles, six very different types of stories, you know? Like, not, you know, everything is very distinct from one another, and that's what I really appreciate about, like, the annual concept. Like, it really gets that, like, that's what it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be lots of little taste.
Yeah.
And the Bogan Skull story was funny. It was fine.
The best
the first panel, like, just all of their faces are just fantastic. Like
Jason's was my favorite.
Weirded out Billy, utterly confused, intense Kimberly, even the derpy bunny. It's all fantastic. And even like old man Rita. It's all great.
I loved Zordon being like, yes, with these power coins, the things I've spare change. I mean, power coins.
Yes. Even Zordon ain't even, don't even care.
Yeah, when I don't want Zordon to tell jokes. I don't want Zordon to tell jokes.
In this capacity, it's fine. It depends what type of story you have. Like, this is a ridiculous story, so it's fine in this story. But, like, in the regular comic, no, you wouldn't have Zordon doing that. But here, it's just, you know, it's Bulk and Skull. They save the day by actually calling a locksmith. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it wasn't my least favorite. So, hey,
mm-hmm.
kudos to you. You know, but it was definitely the second one. So,
why are you always lying?
I don't know. It's just for me, except for when, I don't know if it was Comic Zero or the very beginning of One where Bulk and Skull were incorporated. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best way that they were incorporated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, other, like, side little stories and their little jokes and what, I just don't.
Yeah, get back to their YouTube thing. Get back to that. That'd be good.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, it was, you know, and then, like, dang, like, why you had to be a Purple Ranger, though? Like, oh my gosh. And then, like, the snout, and I'm like,
come on.
Although, I did like the pompadour with the helmet for
that was great.
I did. Yes. I'm not gonna lie. But is I mean, you know, and then art style is cool. You know what I mean? I didn't have a problem with the art style. So I'm not really here for most of these Balkans.
Well, and I love the fact that they actually took the time to do the traditional, like, introduction with the Zord to the side and Zordon giving his reasoning for why they are that ranger. It's just fantastic.
To be honest, this is the only story where I actually found myself kind of skipping a few word bubbles.
Oh, you are wrong.
Me too.
I was just kind of like, yeah, I get it. Next. like, I get it.
You and your anti-comedy coming back.
Like the although, like, one of the panels, it had it was when they meet Alpha, and then, like, it's from his point of view, and then you have, like, look, hygiene, -5, tact, -50, attitude, 9,000.
That was so amazing.
Dragon Ball Z joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, again, like, the art style helped it a lot. So that's why I wasn't too like, oh wow, I'm gonna just skip over all.
I love Snooty Zordon. Big fan.
I need to change my profile picture on Ranger Board to Jason's face at the start of that comic.
That's pretty solid.
Or the bunny rabbit. Probably the bunny rabbit, actually.
I think Kimberly is the secret MVP on that panel. She is so intently staring at that bunny.
They all have the derp face.
It's yeah.
It's like, what is this?
Don't be too derpy, all of you.
All of them. Oh my gosh. They're all very... The bunny's just like, look, I'm chilling, though. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What? What you want me to do? What? But the last story, I thought was very endearing.
I think it worked well, like, you know, as a bookend with the first story. I think they worked well
Yeah.
together. And I just love that second page with a little girl looking up at the fight. Like, just
Yeah.
fantastic. Just great perspective.
That
Just
was
like,
just a great tribute to the spirit of Power Rangers more than
yeah.
anything.
And talking about, like, just giving you, like, the perspective of the common man and, like, what the Rangers mean to them and, like, the fact that them unmorphed can be just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the Rangers themselves. You're like, it's just fantastic. And hey, it's the only time we actually got Tommy in there. Hey, there he is. One of the few times
Hey.
Tommy shows up.
Well, I mean, hello. You didn't like
Old
Derpy
Derpy Derp, but that, you know, there's very little Tommy in this combat. I'm fine with that. That's cool. But yeah, it's just a very nice little ending. Although Zordon is cracked out in this comic.
yeah, I don't know. Like, some of
Well,
these Zordons,
everybody
y'all,
is.
like.
That's the thing is,
This
they
Zordon's
all
big head.
Zordon lends himself to be drawn like very stylistically if you want, because there's a lot of room for interpretation in that, unless you just want to make him little squiggly lines top of his head, be done.
Yeah.
So I can see why they do that, but sometimes it's like, guys, it doesn't need to be that hard, I promise.
Yeah, like one panel he looks like Jay Leno, another at the very end he looks more like Frankenstein. It's very, very Zordon. But yeah, man, just a solid comic, you know, start to finish.
Boom Comics. And hey, I think it was you, Jer, or somebody who said Boom Comics, great Power Rangers stories unless they're about women.
Oh, we did. Well, I mean, well, it is unfortunate that the weakest story was the one that was focused on the girls only.
Yeah, written by a
Woman. Yeah. But I mean, even as a weaker story, it was not a bad story to
Right,
me at
it's
least.
not as it's not as
It
bad
was so
as a
heavy-handed,
Garfink.
though. Like, I can't with
Well,
that.
that's like you
I
said.
want to save the earth. I want to save
Well,
the
this is
animals, and we all need to
well,
save
that's
the
the thing is,
animals together in an
if you take the
animal.
lesson of an entire episode and put it into 6 pages of a comic, it's going to come off heavy-handed.
And this is why I say it feels, that's the one that feels the most like it's basically an episode, because they did actually sometimes talk like
That's the thing is,
that.
if they're going to give you 6 pages to tell a story, you have to come up with a story that works well in only 6 pages. And unfortunately, that story was a fine story, but it doesn't work in that context. Yeah.
Okay.
Animals, yo.
Just, I mean, it was a lot. And the thing is, it's like, I don't know if it's just a luck of the draw or just Murphy's Law. I don't know. It just seems like the women can't catch a break in this comic, or
Hey,
in, these comics, these
this
stories.
hey, that
Yeah.
these those 6 pages were better than all the pages of MMPR Ping. Just gonna throw that out there.
I, yeah,
Well,
well,
you're not
yeah.
wrong. And it's not just, and we can't say women in general, because in the main comic, Trini has had some good stuff. Oh yeah,
Right.
for sure.
And then Kimberly has nothing.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So
That's the well
far.
that and that's the problem, is they were probably banking on MMPR Pink
Right, to
to
be.
yeah, to say, okay, yeah, she hasn't had a lot of focus in the main comic, but she's still doing her own thing over here.
And it was
And I
terrible.
feel like
And
we do this just about every month where we say, well, so and so is not getting anything to do, and then next month it's like
yeah.
their whole issue is theirs.
Yes, the whole issue. Okay, so I'm waiting.
Well, and that's like
Okay.
I really do think that as soon as this main story is over, that's focusing on Tommy dealing with his crap and, you know, angry Zach, that we'll get some more Jason and Kimberly stuff in the next story arc. I would hope so. I would think that they would be smart enough to
I
do
would take a Trini focus over Kimberly any day of the week. Just gonna throw
Well,
that out
it's just
there.
because it's just about giving.
Balance.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Like,
We'll
Trini
just
got
need.
some stuff, so just to be fair.
Throw a little to
Yeah.
Kim,
Yeah.
and
and
Yeah.
then go back to Trini.
Yes.
But
What I hope.
preface it, when you throw a little to Kim, don't throw a little to Kim where she's thinking about Tommy.
Yep,
Don't
please.
do that.
Yes.
Right.
The Bechdel test is in effect.
Yeah.
See, what I would love is if we get stories in this comic that are about Kimberly and Trini, where you can show that they're friends and all that, but they also get their own stories that also aren't about them being best friends and also not about, oh my God, boys. shopping, like just a nice story. Because so often, you know, in Power Rangers, where they have to do the girl episode where the two girls are friends, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but sometimes it's like just have an individual episode about this female character.
Or, I mean, yes, you can. I don't mind you talking about a dude, right? Because, hey, it's what we do sometimes. However, let it not be the focus, you know?
Or
you
can like, it's just like, because you it's can so even, easy with Kimberly.
Yeah, you can do, like, platonic episode two. Like, give me the Kimberly and Zach story. Just do it. Like, whatever. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. Have them do something.
Or have what's it, Trini, wanna, what was the guy's name who was, like, a red herring for White Ranger? That wasn't Richie? Curtis. Yeah, Richie. Richie. Give me the Trini Richie story.
Yeah. Richie and his Steve Cardenas vest. Yeah.
give no. We need the Zach and Curtis story. Where's that at?
You could, yeah. I mean, Trini has a
Where's
cousin.
Angela?
Jason has Chad a cousin. Show up.
I want the Zach Angela story. That's the real romance. Where Angela's just telling him off the whole comic.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days.
Oyster Stew, the comic adaption.
Hey.
I mean, you're still not as old as Shelby's friend, so it's fine.
That's true. I have a couple of millennia. I have a couple of millennia to catch up to her.
Right. So you're good.
Pretty soon she's gonna be, you know, hanging out in the times of Rita. She's gonna be like 10,582.
Exactly. She's gonna be coming out of a space dumpster.
Rita has a sister.
She was alive when the Dead Sea was only sick.
Sweet.
Stupid.
Put her in the 10,000 years ago prequel comic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, it's her origin story. What? Like,
making her relevant.
Christina has been doing this whole time.
She emerged from her birth on KO3, and she was always lying from the minute she was born. She's the one that caused the war between Zordon and Rita.
Every evil thing that has ever happened was because of her lies.
Yes. Oh my god, what?
That would be an amazing annual story. Just every conflict in Power Rangers is because of Eren, the liar. Why you god. Always lying? Yeah.
She is our Loki. Just deceiving since day one.
Oh my god, sowing the seeds.
23 years of Power Rangers, aka 23 years of Eren Lion.
Mm-hmm. Right?
She's the reason why every villain wants to take over the world. Got it. Yeah. Awesome.
She is Satan.
Literally.
And we're done.
Oh, yeah, this apple's delicious.